Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And this week, we watched Season 3, Episode 11, Fort Roz.
Now, technically, we did not watch it this week. Well, you did, but I watched it what feels like...
I watched it tonight.
I watched it...
Because we are still behind.
Yeah, I watched it what feels like a lifetime ago. And so this should be very fun trying to see if I can even remember what happened in the episode.
See, this worries me because now I have to stay on track about what happened in the episode, which
I think
means like details and stuff.
I have like the basic, I reread the sort of like the plot synopsis on IMDb and I was like, oh, this one. Okay. And I feel like I vaguely remember most of it, but I think when we start talking about some specifics, because I know you have... You said you have some specific opinions about some of this stuff.
It was a frustrating episode because I was enjoying it for the majority of it, and then in the last maybe 5 minutes of the episode, I just got really annoyed. And I was like, oh, well, there you go.
Well, okay. Let's kind of, and since maybe the people that are listening to this, maybe it's been a while since they saw it also, as we're trying to catch back up, which is actually the show's kind of doing us a favor by they're about to be on another break.
Yeah. So hopefully this time we can actually fully catch up.
We'll catch up.
And then be caught up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so why not, since you did just watch it tonight, how about just let's go through like a quick kind of basic run through of what the what the plots A and B and however many other plots there are going in this episode.
Okay, so I think the episode before it, they had realized that there was something to do with Fort Roz. They had mentioned it at least.
Yeah.
And so Supergirl's like, well, I need to go up there. It turns out it is a blue planet, which apparently means that Supergirl has no powers.
They had launched it. They had like thrown it. They had like launched it into space. And they were like, well, okay, we had no idea where it was, but now we found it. But the problem is it's orbiting, a blue star, which means Kryptonians have no powers, and it's also, deadly to anyone with a Y chromosome?
Yeah, and also, not only the fact that, like, oh, there are things that are deadly to Y chromosomes, that's BS, but also the fact that, like, human chromosomes are, like, genders and... Like the way gender works in the human race is not that like simple and it whatever it's fine. I was
it's
like,
also
oh, whatever. It's
the idea that like all alien races are also set up on the same kind of chromosome, two gender, binary gender lines is like really ridiculous.
Yeah, and it also feels like. It's like, oh, they wanted a reason to have an all-female episode. I'm like, but you couldn't have thought of anything
that
that feels like such a stretch to set up. And here's the thing. There is another DC show called Young Justice who did this exact same thing where it was like, oh, this villain can control men's minds, so we're going to have all the women... come in. And I think the show at least lampshades it, where Batgirl's even like, so that's how you had to justify sending an all-girls team. And so at least like that was lampshaded.
Yeah.
But
I wish you hadn't even brought that up though, because now it just makes me want to watch Young Justice.
It's coming back.
Oh man.
Season 3.
Oh, I know. How long have we got to wait for that?
I don't know, because animation takes forever.
How long until we can start that show? Until we can start that podcast.
Don't tempt me. We already have to catch up to this show. let's do that first and then figure out where we need to be.
Okay.
Also, I mean, if you think that I go on to weird tangents for this show, I would be completely sidetracked every single podcast. Anyway, so they're like, well, we need women. And apparently there are no, like... It's weird because they know other... I mean, obviously, Alex... I don't know. I'm wondering if the actress for Alex got hurt and that's why they did this, or if they just wanted her to have this plot with Ruby and this was like their way. But it is interesting that they've set up her being out with a broken leg, and then so Kara has to depend on other people. But you think they would have also brought like agents up there, like some backup.
That ship seems pretty big. Seems like you could have taken a whole fleet of people.
There's also like the problem of the specific villains that they choose. Specifically, Livewire at least has had some anti-hero-esque episodes in the last year or so where, like, not super trustworthy, but at least to the point of like you could almost see like a team up being possible.
She doesn't seem like a full-on villain.
Yeah.
She's like a rule breaker and someone who's misguided, but she doesn't seem evil.
I know that you don't have as much experience with him because you didn't watch The Flash, but it's kind of similar to Captain Cold in terms in terms of being really like having a lot of chemistry with the hero and kind of like thinking that they're a dork, but also like kind of begrudgingly liking them, but also wanting to do their own thing. So there's kind of that dynamic going. And I actually like the scene where it turns out that she is very afraid of this, like, of this villain killer. And so she's been making money
as a waitress.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. So we have that. And then we have the villain we've only met once who is just torturous. And I don't understand. And there wasn't really a contingency plan. Like, you have to get close to her to reactivate her, like, her dampening system or whatever. Yeah. This is Psy, I think. I forget the name.
Or Psy. P-S-I.
Psy. And I just kept going, like, it's a good thing that she seems to have no... I mean, granted, it would be very hard for her to get back to Earth because she doesn't know how to fly that ship. But at the same time, like, she could do whatever... Like, she could be desperate enough to try to do something.
Yeah, the first time she gets that thing off, she attacks Saturn Girl. And it's like... And there's never any explanation for why that happened. You know, they play it, like, several ways, where it was like, you know, she's saying, I don't know what happened. It was an accident, or, you know, I wasn't trying
to do
something.
I think is what that's supposed to be, but it wasn't, it never set up anything.
Yeah, there was never,
exactly. And then there's later when she starts singing a nursery rhyme or something. Yeah, it was a nursery rhyme as rain's coming in, which is like out of nowhere. And I thought maybe she was hypnotized. So maybe I was like, oh, maybe it's something with rain's like, cult or whatever that was affecting her or something. Maybe she's one of the world killers. Like, these were things that were going through my brain because it felt like something was being set up. And it said it was, if it was just that, like, she freaked out, which was totally, would have been totally valid, then they needed to do a better job of conveying that, because I was not sure what was happening, like, plot wise to her. I will say I did like my favorite part with Psy was when she and Livewire were like snipping at each other. That was, I think, like, it was really nice to see like the different dynamics between the like four characters, and for those two to just like to just not be down for each other was kind of an interesting way to take that.
Well, yeah, and you've also kind of got that tension between Supergirl and Saturn Girl in that they're both good guys, and Saturn Girl is obviously, you know, is crazy about Supergirl, and Supergirl wants to like Saturn Girl because she is obviously a decent person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another hero and everything. But it's like, she still feels like a little uneasy about having to be around her, but
yeah,
that she's trying to get over it and be the good person that she also is, and not hold it against this other poor lady who has done nothing wrong.
There was that part a little bit later too, where when Livewire finds out like what their deal is, and she's like, "Oh my god, Like, do you hate her? I would hate her. You should probably be hating her right now. She's like, no, it's no one's fault.
It's just like, so. Do you remember that episode? It may have been at the end of the first season. I think that's where it was, where Alex got a sort of exoskeleton power suit to wear to help Kara fight evil Kryptonian aunt.
Is your question why isn't she using that with her broken leg? Yeah,
why isn't why didn't Supergirl wear that? To go to outer space, since it basically gave her.
Well, that was in season one, and they forget the large majority of what happens in season one. I'm surprised that they actually remember Fort Ross, because that was a season one thing. Of course, with Fort Ross, they also like to be like, yeah, there's a weird mist in it. Just because we never mentioned it before doesn't mean there wasn't always a weird mist and like this woman and stuff. Totally. It's very much whatever they needed to be when they actually remembered that Fort Ross exists.
Really the thing. I mean, and we go on about this, you know, it seems like almost every week, but we only go on about it because they give us reason to. And it's these things where these things where they're just like, there's a million different ways you could do this stuff that would not be completely convoluted. Or things where it's just like, could y'all not work just a little bit harder to make this make sense, or to like give us reasons for some of these things, or just the stuff where it's like, oh, she didn't do that because whatever. We want her to not have her powers, so then, you know, they have to work together. But it's like, if Supergirl doesn't have her powers,
why is she going up there?
Why is she even going? And also, you've got John, who is a Martian, who can be anything. It's not his. The Martian race is a good point. Yeah, they've well established that. Like, I mean, in the comics, maybe not as much in the show, and so maybe somebody would say like, oh, well, that's not canon for the show. But it's like in the comics, they have definitely shown that Martians can kind of just be whatever. And it's, you know, some of those things are not nearly as, there's not such hard lines, you know, about that kind of thing. And Martians are more fluid about those things. And it's like, why on earth wouldn't he go? It just, so many things. And it's like, if she's really so desperate for help, go to the next universe over, where you now have so many friends. If you can just go over there for a wedding, you can definitely go over there when there's something that is like world ending at stake, and go, hey, let me just grab a couple heroes instead of just bad guys, where it's like literally she's got one good guy and then two people that both do not care for her and do not care to be helpful. If you want to have a reason to have like a, you know, a girls' night where you throw an interesting mix of characters together, come up with a better reason for why she's got to use these people. You know, like have a reason where it's like, oh, there's going to be psychic problems. There's going to be, you know, because we know about Fort Ross because we studied it before we sent it off or whatever, we know there's going to be issues where we will need Livewire specifically because of your...
Yeah.
You know, your electricity-based powers. I know that might take a little longer to explain in the episode.
But it would make more sense than what they did. Absolutely.
And it would better serve the episode than wasting a bunch of time on, Brainiac thinks it's so, you know, bass ackwards in the past.
So last time we talked... you had already watched this episode, and you had already kind of picked at your frustration about Brainiac being so smart, but then like not actually showing it. So the whole time I was watching this episode, I was like, I know exactly what Chris is going to want to talk about with this. I will say that it was, it's frustrating because I think that the character can be really charming, and they actually need to let him like, I don't know, get excited about stuff. I think that there's a lot of potential there for him to be excited about learning about history and about pop culture. I think he mentions last episode.
So stoked. He seems so stoked about getting to see all this stuff for real that he just heard about in the past. But then now this episode, he's so down on everything. It's yeah. like, what caused this, I think the way that they can change?
I feel like the way they could salvage this if they want to, and they might not. They could very well ignore everything that I want them to do, which is something that happens occasionally. but what they could do is actually have him address it and go like, you know, I'm in a new place and it might... You know, childishly, admittedly, I immediately went to being defensive and being like
that's
haughty.
That's way too yeah. thoughtful for them to do. There's no way.
I know.
It makes perfect sense. It's like would be a real smart thing to do.
Of course. Yeah, you never
which
know,
is why they're not maybe. Going to.
I know.
The next episode, it'll just be like, he'll just be like, nothing ever happened.
Probably.
He'll just have a great attitude.
I wouldn't even have minded all this if they had had a scene with him and Wynn where they actually had him address it. Because it seems really weird that they set up, like, they build all this headbutting between them. And then it's only, I mean, like, it's technically resolved because Wynn comes up with a solution himself. But... Like,
Brainiac never says thank you
or perhaps I underestimated the capabilities of the technology of today and the people or something like that. Like there's a way that like, and you know what? There's even that bit about where he says like, know your history. And he could say like, admittedly, I never got to learn this history.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been wanting to learn and you reminded me or something. But again, that's smarter than what they did. I will say the only Brainiac bit that I liked this episode really was the part when he was like, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll get the cold fusion generator and blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, we don't have cold fusion. He's like, what good are you guys? That was actually pretty funny. I don't know. That part made me laugh. That was a good joke.
But it's also, well, it's like if Brainiac knows so much about all this stuff that we don't have, it's like, go ahead and show us how to make it.
Yeah.
Like you're the 12th level intellect or whatever. Show us how to do it and then we can use it. It's great. I mean, I know you're kind of in a hurry right now, but if you're so smart, surely you know a way to do it super efficiently and like
that wasn't sorry, the way you said the way you said it leaned into, if you're so smart, why don't you show us?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I guess I'm just going to jump towards the... Well, okay.
That's sort of... Okay, so the plots are that we've got going here are like, A plot, Supergirl's got to go to a place with people she can't really trust, that's really dangerous, to find someone that has information on Rain, which all of that was like so dodgy. Like the idea that, oh, I got to go talk to this person who's going to have some kind of information on how to stop Rain. And it's like,
yeah,
just you're going to end up fighting her. Just, you know, like, or you're going to have a talk with her that's going to help, which I guess she did kind of. Then you got the B plot is... the stuff, I guess, tied for B plot is the stuff between like Brainiac and Wynn being snippy with each other, and then Alex and Ruby hanging out where Alex is getting to spend time with a kid, and also she's dealing with stuff because Maggie texts her about needing her passport, and then Alex learns about cyberbullying.
An extreme misuse of her.
Yeah, that's definitely the kind of thing I think would get you in trouble. Also, I love that. Okay, so she goes and like basically yells at the girl that was cyberbullying Ruby. And I was like, at no point did Ruby like yell for her mom or like did Alex speak to an adult? You'd think that like the first thing she would have done would have been like the girl opens the door and then she just launches into her thing. Like, I was like, if you really want to seem like a cop, shouldn't you, or, you know, or a, whatever she says she is, CIA or FBI or whatever.
It was FBI, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you'd think that she would go, like, I need to talk
speak to
an
your
adult.
Mother.
Yeah, I need to not just talk to a little kid.
There's also that part where she's like, we monitor everything. And I'm like, ew. Again, Alex, I don't know if
that using, kid is probably scarred for life.
Yeah, and like using America's fears of the government spying on us in this day and age.
To terrify a teenager. A child. Yeah, a child.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little odd. Also, it's like the show often is, you know, about messages and morals and stuff. And even beyond like the, like, you know, hey kids, cyberbullying is a thing.
Yeah.
So just get like your mom's friend to pretend to be an FBI agent and
get a bigger
and
bully.
Threaten your yeah exactly, but even so, or like you know have a very convincing FBI costume and and torture your bully.
Yeah,
that will work out just fine.
That'll teach them a lesson and not turn them into a terrified, scarred sociopath.
Yeah, exactly. You will not go to jail for impersonating a government agent.
I mean, she is a government. She's not impersonating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but also, but then again, I don't think government agents are allowed to threaten children. Yeah. I don't know, though. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. goodness knows the DEO gets away with a lot of things it's not supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
so
if they're
whatever.
Not supposed to be pretending to be other agencies of the law, they are really in trouble.
Because
they have been using that Doctor Who psychic paper trick from, you know, for three
forever.
Seasons.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was interesting to me to have these two characters interact just because, and I think that Alex.
You're talking about Ruby and Alex?
Yeah. Because I think Alex, her actress, is really personable, and I think the two of, and the kid is actually a pretty good actress. And they have a nice little rapport going. And Ruby was really sweet with Alex when she realized that, like, that she was upset, and there was, I don't know, there was some nice thing going there, even if I felt like it was kind of, it didn't have a lot of substance.
Yeah. Also, there's like, I was, it's probably fine, but there was a moment in there where I was going like, is this something, like, is this the kind of heavy thing you should be laying on a kid this young who, like, is just, like, she's one of your friend's kids, and I don't know, I was just like, I could see... I know that, like, I remember being a kid and wanting people to treat me like a grown-up, but this is also the kind of thing where it was like, if someone treats you like a grown-up when you're a little too much at that age, like, to talk to you about something serious, you go like, oh, this is, I'm not ready for this. You know, like, I'm, this
maybe.
Is...
Maybe. I thought she was pretty... I could see how it could lean into that. I think it was... The most she said was just like, I thought my life was going to be like my life was going somewhere else. And now this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Which, I mean,
it was pretty brief. If it was like, it was way more of a like soliloquy about.
Yeah. It's just like emotionally heavy. I don't mean like like she told her anything like, you know, oh, that you shouldn't tell a kid that. I just mean, it's like, it seems like an emotionally heavy thing to tell a kid to like talk about all that stuff to a kid. You've like, don't know, you know, that well. It'd be one thing if her mom was talking. I don't know. Maybe I'm just sensitive. I don't know.
Well, you are. You're very sensitive. So, and then that ends up tying into later the fact that they finally address the fact that that Ruby's mom has been gone for like large parts of time that she does remember.
Okay, so this is jumping to the very end of the episode. Yeah. But that part was like something else. But it also cracked me up in that when that scene sort of starts before she has that interaction with Alex, she tells Ruby to go wait in the elevator. It's basically just like to get the kid out of the room so they can have, but she doesn't know that they're about to have this conversation about how she's missing all this time.
That's
and
a
it's
good
like,
point.
Why would you tell her to just go wait in the elevator? But just, you'll be fine unsupervised in an elevator
I guess it's better than wait in the car in the middle of the night, which could have been the other option there.
But it's like, so she says, what is her name? Sam.
Sam, yeah.
Sam is, she goes, she's like, she shows up right on time for when she's supposed to pick her up, you know, like when they're expecting her. But then she's like, I haven't been anywhere. What are you talking about? You know, or like, I don't know what you're, it's like, okay, yeah. So if she has
kind
this.
Of like, she has like this look on her face, and this, the actress does a good job with this, where it's kind of like she blinks a little bit. Like it doesn't, it's a very specific, like confused face that, but it is weird because then Alex is like, you know, your work trip. And it's like, that was seemed like a really weird reaction, because what other trip would she, would Alex think she had gone on? I don't know. Anyway, what were you going to say?
The thing of just that she's like, this is some very selective amnesia in that it's like, why did she, when she's driving over there to pick Ruby up, why did she think that Ruby was over there? If she, all of a sudden she's like, what do you mean? I haven't been gone. Like, and because she even asked, she's like, oh, how was she? So she knows that Alex has been watching her for a while. Like, it's just lazy. It's crappy writing. Or not crap. I shouldn't say that. But it's like, you know, it's like, I get that they want to have that. The important thing of this scene is having her realize she keeps having these, like, blanks in her memory. And, like, I love the part when she looked at her phone and she's got, like, a million texts all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did you not look at your phone until just now? Like, you would have looked at your phone at least just to see what time it is at some point. And so it's like, how did you get from space back to wherever you went? You know, just, it's just
that's fair.
Really slapdash.
You know, it didn't bother me as much only because I could kind of buy the idea that
she says that thing about
phrasing,
she's
the
like,
phrasing I keep thinking about is like dazed and confused, where like for part of it, like that her brain's kind of on automatic.
Yeah.
And then the question kind of snapped her into place, and then she's like, wait, I didn't go on a trip. What trip? And then I don't know. Like it didn't bother me as much, but I can see why it can be frustrating.
If she got from her house to Alex's apartment, there is no way she didn't look at her phone 20 times. Like, we don't not look at our phones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even just to, like, check the time or to, you know, use the GPS or what, anything. We look at our phones constantly. And it's like,
I mean, I do, but I'm also, like,
anyone, especially someone who is, like, a, you know, a high-level business person. She's an executive. She's like the head of a huge company. Like she would be on her phone constantly. I don't know. Like I love the way that they played that scene though, as far as like her freaking out and going like, you know, I thought I was just maybe like, I've been so tired and kind of frazzled and there's been so much stress. I thought maybe I was just kind of like getting confused about things, but I'm like really missing time and I'm worried there's something really wrong with me. Like,
yeah,
the way
that was a good,
that was great.
A good moment.
That was great. It's just like how they got to that. The explanation for how they got to that. If she had come in and been like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Hey, could you wait outside for a minute while the grownups talk? And then she said, like, then she confides in Alex, like, and shows her phone. She's like, I have no idea where I have been. This is my phone, like when I was driving over here, you know, I checked my phone. It said I missed all these calls. It's like, I have no memory of this. I'm really scared. And like, I need, you know, I need some kind of help. That would be great.
Yeah.
Like that would make sense for why she got her out of the room and for this thing. But to have her just like all of a sudden, you know, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? Why do I have all these missed calls and texts and 100,000 email, you know, like, it's just, it's right there off the top of my head. And I'm not a paid Hollywood writer. Off the top of my head, I feel like I came up with a better explanation for like how to make that work that would get rid of the problem I had with it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so when there's a room full of people who are getting paid exorbitant amounts of money to come up with this stuff, I feel like it should be better. I want these shows to be, I don't want to feel like I am smarter than these shows. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I do.
Like when I watch something like, you know, like when I watch Westworld, I'm like, I don't think I could fix it. You know, I'm watching it and I'm just going like, I'm just you know, kind of captivated. Or I'm just, at the very least, I'm just entertained and I'm just going like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. I'm not going like, oh, why did they say this? Oh, that was like, so that's dumb. Why did they do, you know, it's like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I'm just using Westworld as an example because I just saw the, like right before we started, I saw that trailer for the next season. but, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like, I don't, it's frustrating to feel like if a show is giving me, making me ask questions or think that things are, and I can come up with a relation, like a, or an explanation for it or like a way around a thing. I'm like, I want stuff to be smarter than me. Like, if I'm going to spend my time watching something, I want to feel like, I want to feel like they know better than I do how to make a good TV show. So I guess we should get back, though, to the sort of, let's get back to the main plot, which is Supergirl and her three friends.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, her three pseudo Bad News Bears friends. They're all going to go to this crazy planet, or not planet. They're going to Fort Roz, which is out around the blue sun, which is very, just a bad place to be. It seems like there should be some better solution than this, but they get out there and they don't think they can trust Psy. And oh my gosh, can we talk about how awful Livewire's hair and makeup looked this episode?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I just feel like it looked much better the last time we saw her. And then it's like, what has happened? What, yeah. Like, the was she from the first season or was she the second season?
She was first season because her original beef was with Kat.
That's right. I was just amazed at how not good the, like, that wig and the makeup looked. It just, I was like, are they spending all the money on that spaceship set, you know, or like,
probably.
Or was all the money on getting Sarah Douglas, another Superman media alum, to appear, which was great to see her.
Yeah, I assumed because she played the like witch lady, like the Lady Roz or whatever, right?
Yeah, and she played Ursa in the first two Superman movies.
Oh, okay. Because like I saw her and I felt like I had heard news that it was an alum, and I also was like, you know how you had said before, like, oh, this person seems too important to just be a random person? That's kind of how I felt, where I'm like, she's playing this with, like, a ton of gravitas in a way that makes me think that she's, like, she's a cameo.
She's somebody? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that, like, the person who, Fort Roz is named after feels like it should be a way heavier, like a way more important multi-episode role, and that did not happen.
No, it didn't.
And then there's the other, like, of one of the better villains that the show has had that they also got rid of this episode. Yeah. Which, by the way, is when I went from generally enjoying the episode to going, oh. So this happened. It's like, really?
Yeah, well, really? We'll assume that everyone has already seen this episode before they watch it. And so they kill off Roz.
I guess because, I mean, I don't know why she thought that she was going to, that like Rain was coming to help her when she just told Kara like way too much. And then she's like, hey.
Well, she was like, it doesn't matter what I tell you because it's all going, you know, it's all going to plan. This is all going to turn out just like, it seemed like she thought it was fine, you know, that it didn't matter what she told her because Rain is clearly going to win because there's all these other, world killers as well.
But then Rain kills her, and I thought that was the whole reason that they were going up there, so that she didn't tell Kara everything. I don't know. It was, and I knew. I mean, it was telegraphed so much. I was like, oh, she's gonna die right here, and then she dies right here. but then,
of course,
there's a big fight, And both Psy and Livewire fight Rain, and Livewire ends up taking a hit for Kara that kills her, and I am annoyed, especially because, yeah, like, they are right next to a ship that has, like, rejuvenating pods or whatever. You couldn't have, like, just carried her through the prison.
Well, she doesn't have her powers. She doesn't have her powers. She can't carry another person without her superpowers.
Like, she could probably lift with her.
Yeah, no, she totally. She totally could have. I'm saying, like,
I know. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's just, it was so frustrating because I really liked that character. I thought it was one of the more developed villains. She's really fun.
Yeah, she has something. She has more going on than just being a bad guy.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because I don't like when shows throw away characters.
Yeah, especially a cool character like that who has got, like, a fun, you know, like, interesting history in the super mythos. You know, she was created for the animated series and then showed up in the comics and, you know, has had, like, it's just a cool character. It's, like, a fun, I don't know, also just apropos of nothing, but since we're talking about Sarah Douglas and then mentioning Superman the Animated Series, looking through her IMDb, it's also fun to see all the other places she popped up in, like, nerd stuff. And not only was she a voice on Batman Beyond, but she played the Ursa stand-in character on Superman the Animated Series. Like, when General Zod shows up, but he doesn't have Ursa. He's got a different lady who acts just like Ursa and is voiced by the lady who played Ursa, named Mala. Just interesting. Nice. Just interesting.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I would have loved to have had her. Yeah. I would have loved to have had that Roz. That's just her. She's got, like, a longer name. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, though. Yeah, it's really long. But yeah, Roz.
I would
have
loved to have seen her be the person who was, like, the person in the robe talking to Rain this entire time. Because then it would be at least be like, it's not just a hologram. It's someone who's, like, projecting something out across, you know, the distance to Rain. And then you've got a reason for why she can give her. A hologram's not going to. I mean, I guess we don't know exactly what the deal with that hooded person she's talking to is. It seems like it's just one of these recordings. But you wouldn't have. A recording wouldn't be going like, well, we didn't know if we could fully trust you, but now we know we can.
We talked about this last time that, like, it makes no dang sense. But yeah, no, that would have been way more interesting. And then it kind of makes sense for the timeline of when Fort Roz was shot away, because that would have been, like, close to right before the planet exploded. And that's when Rain was shot out. So it could have been, there are so many ways that they could have actually tied this in really nicely.
We should change the name of this podcast to We're Smarter Than This Show.
not inaccurate.
I'm sure that the people that are, look, I am, disclaimer, I am, you know, I'm, we're not, I'm joking. I'm sure that the people that are writing this show are plenty smart as individuals, but I think there is something that happens when you're under the time constraints for doing these things.
Oh, and absolutely.
There's all kinds of budgetary restraints and stuff like that, and things where you're just going like, you know what? We were in such a hurry to, like, try to get some of this stuff done. We've got so many things to juggle. I'm sure it's like, we didn't even think of that. And it's like, we just had to do with it. And it's like, of course, after we did it, I realized, but, you know, what can you do? It's already, there's sets are already being built. You know, it's like, you've got to worry about stuff like 10 steps ahead or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's tougher than that, but, or maybe it's not. I don't know. I've never written for one of these shows, so I can't say.
It's always tough. I mean, most of our complaints tend to be things where it's like, we see where you were going and if only like a little thing was changed, yeah, it would have been so much better.
Like, if the thing you're doing is a great idea, it's just like the execution, you know, or the your idea is great. You're just you're falling down on how to make it make sense.
Yeah, yeah. So the one thing that I thought was interesting with Sai was that it's the only time we've seen Rain like actually struggle against someone with superpowers.
Yeah, she clearly has a vulnerability to psychic based attacks. So she's like a grass type Pokemon. I'm just kidding. I don't know which kind of Pokemon it is. Grass type was the fighting. Only one I could think
actually,
of.
Actually, fighting is weak against psychic.
Okay, so yeah, and she's clearly good at fighting.
Yeah, so that totally works.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think which one. She's a Machop. No, she's better than Machop. She's a Machamp.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, and it was interesting that, like, I think that what they're trying to get at, because they keep implying, like, Kara keeps asking, why aren't you weakened by the things I'm weakened by? Like, with this, like, the blue sun doesn't really weaken her.
That was really lame.
Oh, I know. It was.
You know, we've complained about them not explaining any of this stuff, like, why these things don't work on her. And I figured out why they don't work on her.
I think I did too. So you tell me what you think and I'll tell you what I think.
Okay. They don't work on her because they need them to not work on her for the plot.
Okay. I wondered if you were going to go. So something, I will say one detail, and I don't know if they're actually going to explain this or, but they specifically, Rain in this episode, before she flies off to Fort Roz, when she's in the little cave thing or whatever, she tells, like, she's in my head, the human is fighting back, which makes me think that Sam herself is not, like, fully Kryptonian, that there's something with, I don't know, like, I'm hoping that they actually explain this, but I'm wondering if that's part of the reason why, like, that Rain is specifically not fully Kryptonian, that's why all that stuff doesn't work on her.
Yeah, I took that as, like, more of a, like, a split personality thing, like a...
Oh, I think it's that, too, but I'm wondering if, because they didn't just say, like, the woman, they said the human, which feels like a really specific... So I'm wondering if it's going to be like, that's going to be the reveal, is that it's not just simply like a Kryptonian baby came down to Earth like
right.
Kara, but there's something else.
There's something else to it. Yeah, I could see that maybe. Yeah. I would not be at all surprised though if it was my reason. It's just like
something.
We've got to have her. Like, we can't have them beat her the first time they run into her with some kryptonite. We have to, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I just keep thinking about how, like, I keep rolling my eyes at the Infinity Wars trailers because Thanos is, like, there's nothing that makes Thanos particularly intimidating the way they've set him up, but we're gonna have to, like, watch a whole movie where he's super, super strong, and I'm just gonna be like, I don't buy him as a like intimidating villain because he's done nothing. He has sat in a chair the whole time.
But you've seen very powerful people be afraid of him in every previous interaction.
Know.
Look, we cannot get started on Infinity War.
That would be
its whole own thing. We can do that another time, but let's...
I know. I'm just thinking about, like, villains that bother me when people are like, they're super, it's super serious, you guys. I'm like, really? Because he doesn't even have his hat. He doesn't have his little hat.
He doesn't even have his sleeves on. It's clearly he's got his work clothes on. He's coming down to get his hands dirty.
That one, I forget which one it was, but one of the closing credits where he's like, oh, I gotta do this myself, and I'm like, you seem like the most, like, saddest old man. Anyway, sorry, not even the same universe, not even the same, not even the same company. We'll get back. So, Supergirl. So, I am, again, very bummed out that Livewire is dead. The only thing I can think of is that there was that spark at the end as she died, and they can always bring her back.
Oh, yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. I'm just worried that they're going to be like, there are always villains where you, or like even characters where you think, oh, they'll bring them back, and then they just don't.
Yeah.
And they have like...
Even when it would make sense to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I can't rely on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's rough. And that's always frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially because like, there's that whole thing about like female characters are way less likely to be brought back from the dead.
Unless you're Jean Grey.
Yeah, and even then, it takes forever. I mean,
boy, there's seriously. A whole other podcast we could have.
Oh, man.
The good thing is that when we've got this, did you hear how long this next break is supposed to be?
Isn't it like a couple months, I think?
It's,
like,
yeah, it's a few weeks? 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
well, because they have to do, they only want to have so many shows on, and they have Black Lightning, and then they're going to have, they're going to have Legends of Tomorrow come back, too.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to, like, not have too many shows on at the same time.
Which is great. As I have said, I think the entire time we've been doing this, these shows would all benefit from way less episodes. The quality
would...
Yeah, and
when you said that whole thing about how hard it could be to be a writer, I wonder if cutting down the episodes... Just to like, even if you cut down like four so that you can cut out some of the filler and stuff, it might honestly help them get their like larger season plots to be more manageable. Because some of the time it feels like they're throwing like a ton of eggs in the air and trying to catch them all at the same time.
Yeah.
And of course you don't succeed.
Yeah, you can't catch them all. Unlike Pokemon, you can't catch
them
all.
Unlike Pokemon, yeah.
This is the Pokemon episode. Yeah, I hope that this...
I can't believe we haven't talked about electric types yet, considering the other villain that was in this. We haven't brought up that yet.
I was going to say, though, it's like, you know, we say that about that it would be great if they cut down on the episodes, because it would... I think that the show overall would benefit, but I think that the first thing that would get cut... If they cut down on the episodes, is episodes like that one where it was the flashback to Kara and Alex and, you know, as kids. And that was like the standout episode of the season so far.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah, that's true.
But the thing that episode had going for it was that it didn't have to go anywhere else. It was one episode that just had to make sense in and of itself because it's already set way in the past. And it's like, that's kind of the. I think that ultimately that is one of the big problems that these shows have is that they know they have a good idea for where they want to start and where they want to get to. And the problem is they've got so much space to try to stretch that out over. And it's like if they didn't have to do so much of that and they could just focus in more on that plot. And that's why you see them add all these characters. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the only reason, but it's like it seems to be one of the reasons why you see them like add more and more characters as these shows go on because they're going, oh, we've got to do something to pad this time out. We need to have other people have stuff going on. Because, like, ultimately, who cares if Jimmy and Lena get together?
Yeah.
It's not important to the plot of the show. Who cares? But you've got these actors that need to have something to do, and you've got these characters who, well, they don't have to have something to do, but you do need to fill a lot of time. So it's like, they haven't done anything. This will give them something to do. This will give the actor something to do. And it will, it'll kill some time. And I just, I hate that feeling of, there's like so many shows where it's like, even when people say that they're really good or they're really into it and I see how many episodes they have and I'm going, I just don't know if I can bring myself to start this because I know that there's going to be so much of this that's just a waste of time.
Yeah. Can I? Because it's been one of those shows I've actually been keeping up on. And I don't remember if you've watched it or not. But that is somehow miraculously, like, the best at avoiding this.
Sure.
The good, Have you watched The Good Place?
That is exactly what I was about to bring up. Yes.
Yes, because that show, I think there's maybe like one episode that felt a little loosey, but it makes sense for the plot. Like, it totally makes sense for the plot. And
that was the sound of our friendship just leveling up because we both mentioned
it. It was actually my email, but that's fine. But no, that show is so tight, and they keep reinventing itself whilst keeping the same, like, I am constantly in awe of how smart that show is.
Yes.
And how good it is at, like, and if you want to talk about, like, romances that feel earned, and character relationships that feel really strong, and, like,
that you
and
care
redemption
about.
Arcs. Yeah, like, redemption arcs that feel like, that feel like they aren't kind of just kind of swept under the rug or like pushed forward because they need the plot forward.
You care so much about everyone on that show.
Yes.
And even if they're like, even when you don't like them, you know, you don't like their character because of like, oh, they're bad or whatever. You're still going like, oh, but you're delighted when they pop up, you know, seeing them on screen, exactly. You're like, oh, what's going to happen? That's another perfect example of a show where I'm like, I don't watch that show and think I could fix it. You know, I watch it. I'm going like, oh, I can't wait for the next episode.
I will say too, and we will not get into this deeply, but, and I have recommended the show to you before, and I don't think you've watched it yet, but was a new season of One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time. Yeah. I knew that's what it was going to be. Yeah. I have not. I have not started it yet.
So I will say this much. There's a story arc in one of the seasons, or not a story arc, but there's an episode where a character has to break up with their partner because they realize that that one of them wants kids and the other one doesn't. But it's done in a way that makes sense for the point of time when they're at, because it's way earlier in their relationship, and it's one of those things where it makes total sense for the other person to think that that person wanted kids, and it makes total sense how things end up with it. So I'm watching this. I'm being as vague as I can, just like, you know, but I'm watching this and going like, oh, this was done so much better than it was when Supergirl tried to do it.
Yeah.
It hit all the buttons in terms of like how that was done in a way that felt way more genuine. You do need to watch that show though, because it is very good. It's on Netflix. You have no excuse. Two seasons.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, it's one of those things, though, where it's like you see something. It's like weird to think that coexists alongside in Netflix's business model alongside like Fuller House. You know what I mean? Like they're both like sort of remakes of, you know, pseudo remake of a thing. But that one could be so good and one could be like such, I won't even say bad because I haven't watched it, but I mean, so just like, you know, fluff, like just cotton candy.
Yeah. I will say there are parts of One Day at a Time that are fairly cotton candy. Yes. It is very much a sitcom, but it also does a lot of like, sometimes it's a little like social issues 101 because of like the characters, but it does a decent job of actually like talking about things that usually don't get covered in these kinds of shows. And there's a lot of actually really good mental health stuff in terms of the mom, because she's a veteran and she's dealing with a lot of stuff. And there's some really interesting things that they do with that show. It is still very much like a sitcom, though. Like, Ned Ryerson is in it. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah.
Who is, by the way, first of all, he's a delight in everything he's in. But also,
yeah, absolutely.
But also there's some genuinely, like, very sweet moments with him. The season finale of season two has a scene with him that is actually really like stupendous. It was really good. But yeah, no, that whole, anyway, sorry. Again, tangent, but I finished it this past weekend and it's just such a delightful show. Which, oh, There's actually a bit where the queer teen in it is going to Comic-Con and actually wants to go to a panel about gay Supergirl fans.
Oh,
so it ties in. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah, not a tangent at all. That was clearly well planned out. We knew that was going to happen.
She cosplays as the Fourth Doctor, I believe. So it's very adorable.
This sounds very cute.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll put that on tonight while I am editing this.
It's pretty breezy. I am encouraging you to do it just because I know that you were incredulous that it existed at first.
I was just amazed and shocked to know that it existed. But yeah, maybe I had just forgotten about it. It was not that I actively didn't watch it.
This is why I'm here.
Yes.
Because I happen to know, I heard from a listener of ours that after like 10 times of me talking about the Lois Lane YA books, I don't know, maybe 10 times, but like after multiple times of me talking about the Lois Lane books, they picked up copies and loved it. So I'm like, yeah, aha,
it
my
works.
Random tangents recommending things to people
while we're doing a random tangent and along those same
because I think we're done with the with the episode.
I don't think we've got anything else.
Okay.
You had a little bit like that sort of like at the end of the episode thing where Kara was like, you know, she and Sai have kind of gotten to a better place now because she says, can we get Sai a better room where they have her locked up, incarcerated?
Yeah, yeah. And Sai kind of smiles. That was kind of sweet. And then like Mon-El and her
have that little thing
talk
where she's,
and it was fine.
It was a good talk.
It was fine.
And the way that he acted in that and the sort of the advice that he gave her there is more of the kind of maturity I wanted to see from him from when he first showed back up. Like I wanted him to seem like a character who had grown more. He's been gone for a long time. And like, I wanted to see more of that. I wanted them to sort of showcase more of that change in him that he really does have. When they first came back, he was basically just acting like himself, but with a beard, you know? Yeah. Really,
that shows a sign of maturity.
Sure. Oh, of course.
Of course.
Goodness knows.
but yeah, I agree. And it was nice when he was like, I'm way better at giving advice. And then he actually showed he's better at giving advice, which was really nice. And
good,
I like
little
the
bit
fact
of business
they,
there.
Yeah. And I like the fact that they're setting Kara and him up to actually build up a friendship again. Like that ever since they've kind of come to terms with the frustrations and everything, it's not like they're avoiding each other. They're trying to, but they're still doing it in a respectful way where it's clear that they're not like, that they're not trying to build like another romance up.
Yeah.
Or at least it doesn't feel like that to me. Knock on wood. That's not what that.
Yeah.
I cannot handle that this season. But yeah, if it just felt as if, again, we talked about this. So one of the strengths of that, of this whole plot line, is that everybody's trying to be as mature as possible. And it's to the character's benefit that they're staying on this line of like, well, yeah, I'm not going to be like, take this out on each other, because like, what's the point? Like,
what's
that's
the
not,
point? Yeah.
Like, what's the point of getting angry when none of us wanted this?
It's like, that's only going to make the situation worse. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It would be so easy for them to like, for the writers to go like, ooh, we can ramp up the tension and whatever on this show by having them be at each other's throats. And that would be, that's accurate. You could, but it also seems really out of character. And so it's nice.
It would make me very, very angry.
Oh, boy, would it.
And I wouldn't want to record a show or like a podcast episode over and over again about how like, I hate this. I hate this stupid love triangle.
Yeah.
So the episode was fine. I know we said we were done with the episode. So yeah, it was fine. It was okay. I liked parts of it. I didn't like the ending as much. I kind of want us to get past the like world killer stuff, but I know that's going to take at least a couple episodes, so whatever.
Oh, and then we did get that little we had that like thing right at the very end of the episode where we see our first other Rain.
Yeah.
I think they gave her a name?
No. I don't think so.
I can't
Maybe
remember.
She had a first name because her friend was screaming it.
Yeah. Which, that was a cool little scene. I mean, it was, at no point did I not know what was what was about to happen. But the way they shot it, and, you know, it was pretty cool. I'm trying to give him some credit.
Yeah, it was fine. So anyway, go. So I forget what we were going to do.
My tangent was
going to
be about, speaking of the Lois Lane YA novels. What are your thoughts? How are you feeling? Excited? Not excited? Neutral on DC Zoom and DC Ink?
Oh, those two. Okay, because there was also that whole, like, to be clear, there was also that those news about Lex and Lois story. I'm like, why is Lex involved?
Oh,
just push him out of the way. I don't care. Give me a Lois story. Anyway,
you're talking about Metropolis,
There's
going to be a new show.
Let's see.
Since we're going to have
this big break. Let's see how that happens, though.
We're going to have this big break right as this new show is starting. Well, not right as, because it starts at the beginning of March. But the first episode of Krypton comes out at the beginning of March, and I think we should watch it and see what we think.
I'm okay with watching the pilot. I don't want to commit to any other...
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have just no invested interest in...
Yeah, same.
I
will say that...
But maybe it will surprise me. You never know.
Exactly. Like, that trailer made
me... I didn't
watch
it.
Oh, okay. Well, I had absolutely no interest in this show. I thought it was a terrible idea. And then a friend was like, hey, man, check out this trailer. It looks better than I thought it was going to be. It's like, I'm a little bit interested now. And I watched it, and I got that same kind of vibe. I was like, oh, this is not totally what I thought it was going to be. And it has the hook in it is that it's not just about, oh, Krypton. It's, maybe I shouldn't spoil it until it comes out or whatever. But it's got a little bit more of a hook to it than, oh, this is just, here's what happened on Krypton. So I'm interested to at least see the pilot. It looked better than I thought than I anticipated.
All right, sounds good. So going back to your original question, so Ink and Zoom, I am over the moon excited about this.
Yes, same.
I if you've seen my Twitter since it was announced on Sunday, especially with like more news coming out on Monday, it is so far a really great lineup. We have a lot of women writing Batman stories as well as other like female focused stories, but there are a lot of Batman ones.
I'll put links to the article, like the announcements and stuff. I'll put that in the show notes.
Sure, yeah. I am over the moon that they have YA novelists, a lot of them women of color, writing these stories. I know that the artist Pizzolo, who is best known in the last year or two for drawing really amazing fan art of Teen Titans. Like, if you've seen them, you'll notice... Starfire's wearing a NASA shirt, like a NASA t-shirt, and it's super cute. And they got him to draw a Teen Titans book. And it's that's the kind of stuff you want to see, is people seeing fan artists, you know, who have amazing concepts and then like bringing them in. Besides that, I am really excited about the Superman fighting the Klan. Which I'm assuming is the real life story of the Superman radio show specifically targeting the Klan, and part of the reason why the Klan was vilified in the public eye. It's an incredible story. It's really part of how social justice has been a key intricate part of superhero comics since the beginning.
But especially Superman.
Yeah. And besides that, I'm trying to think what else. More Shea Fontana, DC Superhero Girl stuff. She's also writing a Batman story. There's just Super Sons is getting a full graphic novel, and I love those kids. So
absolutely,
that's going to be really great.
I'm just so excited about all of it. And I know it's not
the
even like
Mara.
There's
going to be a Mara one by a YA novelist who's really good at adapting like established stories and giving them a twist. So I'm super excited to see what she does with that. Meg Cabot is, aka the writer of the Princess Diary books, is writing Black Canary, and that's going to be fantastic. So I'm I'm really over the moon. I love the fact that it's two imprints and that they are actually imprints. They're not just throwing a handful of books out into the ether. Imprint implies that they're planning to build off of it, and like
it really feels like this is, they have the scope of this just from what they've already announced. Really, unlike some of these comic announcements with stuff like this sometimes goes, it feels like they really have a solid plan in place for how this is all going to work. And it's like the number of books they announced and the, you know, the number that there's people attached to so many of them already, and like they have stuff to show, really makes it feel like not only is it they clearly have a plan in place, but also that they definitely seem to have been working this out for a long time, getting their ducks in a row.
It's been years.
Yeah,
like, I've heard years.
It's just so exciting to go like, oh, this is going to be a real, like, this is going to be a real and good and well thought out thing. It's not going to be just some slapdash like, oh, let's try to cash in on this real quick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that there's the fact that they're focusing on graphic novels is so important because, you know, as much as I respect and love comic shops who cater to audiences of all varieties, it is really hard to get people who don't do the weekday warrior thing or like the Wednesday comic thing to come into the shop and buy monthly issues. So, and really the book market is so huge. It's so huge, especially for this demographic, that comic companies not going for that always baffles me. And I know why, because it's like, it's way out of their comfort zone, but they have to. And it feels really good that DC is finally setting support systems so that these books can succeed. And look, I have a kids graphic novel coming out next year. Oh my gosh, it's in less than 4 months from now. It is this year. Oh no. But like I have stakes in terms of kids feeling like comics can be accessible to them, and this feels like a really smart way to push that into, yeah, I'm thrilled. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait to see what the books are going to be like. So I've already an in-law of one of my in-laws, who I actually got to chat with over the Christmas break, is a teacher who is actually very gung-ho about getting comics to her students because they love them.
Yeah.
And I immediately sent the new thing to her, and she was so thrilled. So,
if I could pre-order all of that stuff now,
I
already would.
So bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, I'm really excited. And I know so many people who are like, oh, I want to pitch to this thing. I want to write books for this someday. Like, it's getting people excited. Getting people that like are even people normally not excited about the big two, like really kind of like bouncing up and down their seat because creators are getting inspired by this. So that's really cool. I'm hoping that they get all the support in the world from the larger DC company. I think that they will, honestly, because this has been in the making for so long. But I think it's going to be really, I think that there's a lot of potential here for something really special.
It was nice to see that like someone finally, this feels very much like a response to what a game changer DC Superhero Girls has been.
Oh yeah.
For them like really recognizing like it's the DC Superhero Girls has become such a, you know, juggernaut of a brand on its own away from all the other stuff, has made them, you know, given them no choice but to go, oh geez, we should focus on some of this stuff. We should put some of our efforts more into this that is like through the roof, as opposed to these. I don't want to get into it. I'm not trying to like bash anything when I say that. It's just like Superhero Girls has been amazing and huge, and it shows, you know, has shown them, oh, this is a very important aspect of the market we were not even properly paying attention to, and it's time we did so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to I think that there are some other of their, not older series, but like Gotham Academy, I would really love to see them republish the volumes and actually sell them to the bookmarkets as well, which I think they do a little bit, but they could really use this imprint to like pull some of their books that
there's some stuff that would be great for this.
That
they could re-release under these imprints and would suddenly they would have
I would be shocked if they don't. If they don't have Supergirl being super, considering that the writer is now going to be writing a Harley Quinn book for that imprint. So, yeah it's going to be great. I can't say enough good about just what I've seen this week about it. It basically made my Monday. I had a very, like, pleasant background, like, happiness because it was just, like, really, it was all really good.
Yeah.
I just want kids to be able to get into comics and know that they can, that it can be for them too. So I think this has the potential to be really great.
Well,
yay!
Yeah, exactly.
What an uplifting note we
had. Gonna say, it's like, what a great place to end on such a high note this week. So Katie, tell everybody where they can find you, all the stuff that that they need to know.
You can find me on Twitter at Just Plain Tweets. That's usually where I am saying random thoughts, often about comics. You can also get on my Patreon at patreon.com/justplainsomething. I'm going to try to do a little more behind-the-scenes stuff coming up there. But
it's tricky sometimes with some of that stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. And besides that, I do have a book coming out in June, June 5th, The Cardboard Kingdom, which is a kids graphic novel. We've been working on some promotional things for it that I think are going to be really exciting, but I cannot talk about them yet. But as soon as I can, I will definitely be letting you guys know. I'm also... I'm going to be at C2E2 coming up here in April. I am not officially tabling, but I'm going to be, at least for a little bit, tabling with Chad Sell, mostly just being his, like, assistant and stuff. But we should have some Cardboard Kingdom swag there if you stop by the table and say hi. And I also, I will say I'm doing a little event before the con. So if you're in the city a few days early, I will give you more details later about that.
Once we're a little closer. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's been officially announced. I just know that it's, I've gotten the details confirmed, but, it should be fun. I think that's it. Oh, and like, I don't know. I have a YouTube page.
And we put the links to our last things in the show notes for those if you want to watch some of that goodness.
The last one I did was still The Last Jedi. So we need to get back into reviewing some movies over on my channel, because I think the last time we talked, you put that in there.
Well, we are about to, just about a week out from what is sure to be a movie you're going to see and I'm to see and cannot wait to see, which is Black Panther. So I'm sure you're, at the very least, you'll have an episode. You will have things to say and an episode about that one. I am so stoked for that.
I am too. I think it's going
to
be really good.
It's not like much comes out in January, you know? I mean, to be fair.
February. It's February.
No, it's February now, but I'm saying you didn't have, like, you know.
Oh, like, it's like, it's not even like, it's a week in, Chris.
Yeah, no. Last Jedi came out, you know, and then there's that first month of the year. January is always just kind of like a dumping ground for movies usually. And there's not like much, I've got to go see that stuff. So it's okay that there's kind of that little gap there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
So Chris, where can they find you?
Like, all right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at The Chris Haley, all one word, as if you could do separate words on Twitter. You can find all the show notes and everything at keepitclosetome.com. I've got a Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheChrisHaley to get episodes early, like this one. You might be hearing this early if you're one of the Patreon people. Episodes always go up first on there if you want to check that out. And you can get stuff in the mail, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think that's about. Oh, follow the show at KICTM Podcast on Twitter. And if you have any thoughts or comments or questions or any of that stuff, send it to us at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Look, I don't know. That may not even be right. But it's all in the show notes. So go to keepitclosetome.com and that'll have all the links and everything to make it much easier on yourselves. And I think that'll about do it for this week. And yeah, and we'll see you next time for more Supergirl Gab.
Bye, everybody.
Hooray!
So, yeah, if we can get this done in like an hour, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I feel strongly that I won't have anything to say because I could not for the life of me even remember what this episode was. I watched it so long ago.
Well, I just watched it.
Yeah, so we should be good.
I have opinions, but I also like I kind of don't want to talk about it a long time either because it's just kind of like an kind of deal. Which I didn't feel, we'll get into it, but I didn't feel like that for most of the episode. And then the ending, I was just like, oh, great.